having led Jews in the way of Christ throughout the Roman Empire. Paul, though not an original disciple, was the single most influential minister of the gospel to the Gentile world. He followed Christ in breaking the traditions which excluded people outside of Jewish heritage from knowing God. Paul traveled extensively, preaching the gospel, and oversaw many early churches, and his letters comprise the majority of New Testament canon. After spending years awaiting the day the Lord would allow him to preach the gospel in the Roman capital, he was beheaded there for that very act. Some say, on the same day Peter was crucified. All of these followed in the footsteps of John the Baptizer, the first to declare the coming kingdom of heaven, and the one appointed by the Father to baptize the Son. John was beheaded in 27 or 28 AD at the request of King Herod's stepdaughter and his wife on the king's birthday. His head was presented to the girl as a trophy for a dance that pleased the king. None of these men were accountable to denominational leadership. At the mercy of the sword, they hadn't the luxury of choosing doctrines to define their relationships. They served Christ, each other, and the lost, no matter the cost. I do not believe they saw their work in light of dispensationalism, yet I am fairly certain they lived in tribulation. There is no record of them ever preaching about rapture. They preached Jesus, revealed Jesus, and nothing more. There is no history which outlines how often, and even if, the apostles who built the church ever voluntarily prayed in tongues as we know it. Surprisingly, none of them saw fit to clarify this. Only Paul felt the need to exhort believers to submit this gift and all the others to the Spirit and the believers so that they be used for the sole purpose of edifying the body and glorifying the Son. Their faith and power came from knowing Christ and declaring Him, not any person's demonstration of gifts. Not one of them served in government or endorsed political leaders. They were ambassadors for Christ in a time of open war on those known as followers of the way. They were never noted for taking a vote. However, they did draw straws and trust the Lord with the fallout. After the ascension of Christ, moral failure wasn't attributed to any of these men, and none of them primarily preached morality. Their letters pointed to a life in the Spirit and holiness as part of a relationship with Jesus that led them into accountability with each other and to the Lord. Apparently, none of them knew how to name and claim prosperity. I'm sure they didn't have access to any bottled miracle water. They never had the privilege of sending prayer requests, along with a check, to any anointed televangelist. They must not have read the prayer of Jabez on the way to any of their crosses. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I may be free from pain. The biblical and historical evidence suggests, at least by current Christian standards, that our best life now was not intended for their lives then, even though I would venture to say their lives were indeed driven by a purpose. I, for one, cannot but drift into thoughts of those who lived for Christ throughout the past ages of persecution, or for the ones who paid with their lives for the Chinese church through her years of agonizing growth to near 100 million strong, for those interned in North Korean camps for professing Christ, or for the thousands being cleansed out of Iraq and Syria under the current terror of a rising caliph. All that the men and women of the early church knew was Jesus. It was the same for those who walked with and followed them. Christ's life was real in them, and they demonstrated it in word, power, and deed everywhere they went. They lived in unity and joy, despite at times disagreeing. Their union was by the Spirit of Christ, and their joy was in fellowship with the living Christ Himself, not just in one of them, not only one sect or division of believers. Christ was alive in the communion of the saints who were bonded in trial and persecution and sanctified from the world that wanted them dead or at the very least domesticated. Everything they were and did was resolved under one driving theme, Jesus glorified. These were the marked ones who practiced the discipleship Jesus Himself defined. These were ones willing to pay with blood in order that they might receive only Jesus as their reward. They sought not success, influence, or power, yet gained them all by every one of God's measures because experiencing Jesus was sweeter to them than any temporary thing. The temptation here is to brush their call aside. For many of us,